knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in
Stop it.
Andy in Kansas.
Andy.
It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is checking back in on the eating weird foods.
Nice.
In 2025, 4555.
4555.
I have, this is the first one that is maybe from the grocery store that shan't be named.
Sure.
I got a cheddar.
Okay.
A type of cheddar. Yeah. And it was advertised as soaked in espresso martini.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting choice, and it makes me feel like the person who invented it, complete accident.
Sure.
Dropped the cheese into some shit.
While they were drunk.
Yep. Very much so.
I think probably. I've never seen these, like, kind of interesting cheeses described as soaked in something.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was fine. It wasn't that great. It didn't get me drunk.
Sure.
Didn't taste that much like coffee.
Yeah.
But it was fine. It was cheese.
It's cheese.
But I got it, and one of the things that I enjoyed about this shopping experience is I think it's something you can only get at this place that we're not naming.
It shall not be named, yeah.
And that is that, like, you'll walk up an aisle, and you'll see one cheese that is soaked in espresso martini cheese.
Yeah.
There's one piece of it left.
Yep.
And you don't know if it's supposed to be there. Or if someone left it there.
Could have been.
I don't know if there's more stock of this. There's no display that's like, come get the new cheese with espresso martini. I feel like it could be a trap. Like, anyone could have just left their own cheese. It could be consignment. Grocery.
Absolutely. It reminds me of that Hedberg joke. This CD is in stores.
Mm-hmm.
The last one, I had to go to a store and put it in there.
Left it there.
Yeah. Sir, this was yours. No. This is for sale. Please alphabetize it.
Yeah. It feels like that every time you find one of these just bizarre products.
I like it. I like the idea that there's also somebody, because if that's the case, then I feel like there's somebody around the corner of one of the aisles, just like with an eye on it. Ooh, somebody got it. And then they kind of want to follow you home and see if you do a podcast and then listen to that podcast. And what I'm saying is there's a man in your closet.
Okay.
Okay.
Or the other possibility is that someone, a cheese person, has left that there.
Sure.
And then the next day or later that evening, they come back and they're like, we moved the cheese. Someone got it.
Sure.
And that's how they keep track of sales.
I like that. Yeah. I feel like you missed out on an opportunity to use one of my favorite words, which is cheesemonger.
I thought about it.
You thought about it?
Mm-hmm.
But left it on the wayside?
Yeah. I think it's because there's only, like, cheesemongers and fishmongers.
Sure.
That word doesn't really apply to anybody, any other field of sale.
You can't really be a meatmonger. You're more of just a butcher.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And that makes me suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, it's a bad word of some kind. Like, it has some kind of origin that's not good. If it's only cheese and fish.
Two of the stinkier possible food items.
I can't figure out what I'm worried about.
I have no idea.
Anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is the episode of the Traitors that just happened.
Sure.
My wife and I just caught up with it, and it is, it's a fascinating season.
Yes.
It's a fascinating season entirely because the Traitors are instantly at each other's throats.
They're such a mess.
Dumbly.
Yeah.
In a way that if they could just communicate obviously about what they're doing, they'd all be like, oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, every one of them makes perfect sense as long as you don't understand what the other person is doing.
Yeah, but I think that they're in a bit of a trap in this season, without too many spoilers, but maybe some spoilers.
That's what I'm trying to avoid in a sense.
Skip ahead a little bit if you don't want to hear too many spoilers. But the team of the traitors that exists now is Danielle, Caroline, and Boston Rob.
God, I hate Boston Rob.
The issue with these three is that Boston Rob is a malicious bully.
Yeah.
And he is not going to be someone you can really work with.
Mm-mm.
If he's ever on a show with you and you have the opportunity to get rid of him and
get
fuck
rid of
him over,
instantly.
Especially if he wants to work with you.
Totally.
If he comes to you and is like, hey, I think I can work with you, that means that he thinks that you are easy to fuck over later.
Obviously.
Yes. So get rid of him at every opportunity possible. He's untrustworthy even as a traitor. Now, Carolyn is awesome.
Brilliant.
But also no one can see it. Everyone thinks she's an idiot.
Yep.
And so they treat her like an idiot.
Yep.
So Danielle is having to work with a malicious bully and someone that she doesn't understand is brilliant.
And if she could just be like, oh, let's team up, the two of them would be unstoppable.
Yeah, and they could get rid of Rob pretty easily
instantly.
If they wanted to.
Yep.
But they just can't see, they can't see the forest for the trees in Carolyn.
Nope.
So it's going to be,
I can't see her not winning. I just can't see Carolyn not eventually making it to the end of this with somebody who's like, thank God I picked the only person I'm sure is a faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like that's where we're going to head.
Yeah, I mean, she made it to the end of Survivor in large part because of weaponizing that way that people treat her.
Totally.
And I think that she, if given the chance, she could probably do that.
Yeah, I don't think it would be too hard at all.
But, you know, with Boston Rob and Danielle on her team, it's good. It's tough.
That's the thing that I didn't understand and I never understand about these games and people. But it does make sense if they're all reality TV show stars and they have good producers. But it's like, oh, Boston Rob showed up. I don't care if he's a traitor or a faithful. The first vote we do is get him out of here.
Yeah.
No matter what, he's going to be a problem for someone.
He's been on 6 seasons of Survivor and every other goddamn show
that's
ever
been made.
First
episode, get him the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I would keep Wes before I keep Boston Rob.
Definitely.
By a wide mile.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Wes is a crafty gentleman, and he likes to work angles.
Yeah.
But he also is into the game that's being played.
I would put him at chaotic neutral.
Rob wants to make his own game, and he's a bully.
Yeah.
Wes isn't that much of a bully.
No. He thinks he's very smart.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
If you haven't, watch the second season of the Australian one if you want to see traitors break the fuck down on each other.
Yeah, yeah.
That one played out amazingly.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm excited.
That's my bright spot. Yeah.
I'm excited for how this season's going to.
It's going to end like a fucking disaster.
The last episode ended with a next time on that I had the experience for maybe one of the first times in a really long time. Of like, I can't wait a week.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yep. Yeah, baby, yep. Yep.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this isn't nice.
Great.
We're going to be talking about little Alex Jones.
Cool.
Episode.
Cool.
So we're going to talk about January 22nd, two days after the inauguration.
All right.
See how things are going. I'm trying to take this a little bit slow.
Sure.
So we can really, you know, I think that what is going on with Trump and with this new administration is all fucking awful.
Sure.
And a lot of it is house on fire kind of stuff.
Sure.
Like, it's bad. He's doing a lot of really bad stuff. But responding in a way of like, I don't think that that's going to help from my perspective.
Sure.
So I'm trying to take a little bit of a slow, like, let's go through Alex's response to these days.
Sure.
And so hopefully there's some value in that. We'll see.
We'll see.
But before we get to this, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
That's a great idea.
So first, Merry Christmas, Jack. Sorry for forcing you to hear Alex's voice coming out of my office every day. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Next, a rat in a cage. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
We got Corgan.
I believe it was Corgan.
Yep.
He's switched sides.
Wonk.
Switch sides.
Yep.
It's a weird thing for him
his
to do.
His love of cats has overshadowed
it
his...
It wins in the end.
Next, Ashley, who's almost 40. Best of luck getting into veterinary school. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan, so thank you so much, too. It took me 6 months of listening to the podcast before I discovered that Celine is the name of a cat and that Dan and Jordan do not, as far as I know, worship at the feet of Celine Dion. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Wow, I hope after making that kind of a big revelation that your heart will go on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we start this on the 22nd, checking in how Alex is doing. He's very clearly indicated he doesn't really care that much about Elon Musk doing a Nazi salute.
What you gonna do?
And has had very little insight into shit that's going on.
Romans.
So here's... I think he's getting a little introspective.
Okay, it's time. Yeah. It is time.
He says something towards the beginning of the show that I thought was like, oh, wow, you do realize this.
Okay.
Now, that said, everybody thinks Trump plays 3D chess, and he is 3D chess in some areas, but he really didn't know that podcasts were hundreds of times bigger than corporate media. Barron had to convince him of that, and... I mean, just a few years ago, Trump still called internet shows the clips. Well, they're not just internet shows.
They're vines.
The internet is everything. But still, in Trump's mind, at 78, he thinks of dynasty media, legacy media, as what's important. And all that means is they have bigger, fancier studios. So we did that here and said, here, we got a studio better than theirs. Now we have also better information. And that was really just to help old people. And I'm not saying all old people, but people ask, why do we have fancy studios? It was to help old people wake up too. Young people would just prefer me shoot my reports in the backyard. Seriously. But this is for old folks. This is for Trump right here. So he'll listen more. That's all this is just eye candy for old people.
So why have I spent millions and millions of dollars and overextended myself and created a gigantic amount of overhead to the point where I have to create all these fake businesses in order to shield money and desperately sell CMOS? It's because I want to trick you into thinking that this is a real show.
Yeah.
I want you to think this is the news, but it's not.
Yep. I mean, it is interesting. Okay. Obviously, he knew that.
Yeah.
That's why he did it. Like, the purpose for doing it in the first place was that.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. It is... I mean, why are you saying it out loud now?
I guess... eye candy for old people is an interesting way to frame it. I don't know why. I guess maybe because he is aware that there's a good chance he's going to lose all that stuff pretty soon.
That's fair. You know, that's fair.
You know, some of those that bankruptcy decision and stuff is coming down the line, and you know, you may have to start dealing with not having those things.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I find fascinating about this, though, is that now he may be also correct in reverse, in that legacy media still has all of these trappings for the same purpose that Alex does. Yeah. And that may be why they're not getting any young people to listen to them.
It may be. But you see, like, I think that, you know, it's not exactly the same, but
sure.
you do see the same. The people who are doing the quote-unquote alternative thing, they do, in many ways, end up emulating the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, even Rogan's setup isn't that, like, different than a studio interview setting.
Yep.
You know, like, it's not totally flipping the tables on convention. I think that it's just what has been done. It's the archetype.
It is an illusion to trick people into believing you.
Yeah.
Without like, it's a shortcut. It's a shortcut to earning trust, is being like, I can afford a studio.
Right. It's like business people wearing a suit.
Absolutely.
It's just what's
it's
done.
All bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You take me seriously because I can tie this tie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So most of this episode is in response to something Alex saw on Twitter the day before, and that is that Trump had a press conference with Sam Altman and the guy who runs Oracle.
The OpenAI guy. Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool.
And so Alex has some feelings about this and has to be very defensive about it. So that big news story gets introduced here.
But the war in Ukraine has come to an absolute head. Trump has issued a very strong ultimatum to Russia with a very large carrot and a very large stick. And there's been just unprecedented developments on that front. as we get into day three. That's obviously the big enchilada. Then we have something that is really a bellwether or litmus test for everything going on in the Republic and the reboot of our country, now open for business again, with Trump cheerleading the economy, one of many events yesterday, with Larry Ellison of Oracle, Sam Altman of OpenAI, and the owner of SoftBank from Japan that is a big America booster and is a good guy as well. Altman is a villain's villain.
Sure.
And is uber bad. And Trump said, oh, what's an example of AI? What's going to do great for us? And Ellison said, mRNA cancer cures. And, sure, of course, I knew that was coming. It was a punch in the stomach still.
So Trump posted on Truth Social about how he wants Putin to end the war and how they can do it easily, the easy way or the hard way, continuing his habit of speaking like a hacky mobster
sure,
character.
Sure, sure, sure.
Trump said, quote, settle now and stop this ridiculous war. All caps, it's only going to get worse. If we don't make a, quote, deal, and soon, I have no other choice but to put high levels of taxes, tariffs, and sanctions on anything being sold by Russia to the United States and various other participating countries.
Great.
Alex shouldn't see this as some kind of improvement or breakthrough in negotiations. He's been very clear in his position that the Biden administration putting sanctions on Russia was an act of war, so he should have a serious problem with Trump indicating that that was his plan, too. Any deal that Trump could make to end the war is just going to be capitulation. Putin isn't going to give Ukraine back captured territory, and they're not going to back off the demand that Ukraine not join NATO. So there really isn't a way for Trump to win the war other than to just let Putin do whatever he wants and then act like whatever has been done is a huge victory.
Sure.
You can see the early indications that Alex is totally on board with running with that kind of coverage, as he's just cheerleading sanctions, as if that wasn't a huge problem he had with the previous U.S. approach.
Mm-hmm.
You know that whole talking point Alex has about the globalists, like they're trying to kill the world by cutting off the food supply, like particularly by getting rid of the fertilizer? You know, we've heard Alex say this a million times.
Sure.
That's specifically about putting tariffs and sanctions on one of Russia's primary exports, phosphate-based fertilizers. If Alex now supports Trump putting massive sanctions on Russian exports, then he has to accept that he wants the fertilizer supply cut off, and he wants the world to starve. And I think this is a narrative problem for him.
Yeah, I imagine so.
Good thing his audience doesn't pay attention at all.
Hmm.
Alex is complaining also there about Larry Ellison because he needs to distract from the fact that Trump did a press conference to announce a joint venture in AI involving the heads of OpenAI, Oracle, and SoftBank. The government is investing up to $500 billion in this venture, which Alex should be principally opposed to. But the way he's covering it on this episode seems to entirely ignore that $500 billion that's being invested in the project. That seems like a major piece of this puzzle, but it's getting pushed to the side because Alex doesn't want to address the fact that Trump is enthusiastic about this project and spending tons of public funds on it. I can't stress how embarrassing it should be for Alex to be talking about this and talk like this.
You can't get mad at Trump when he does stuff like this.
I'm sorry?
He's a super optimist, and he is just going to get any investment he can in the United States. He's running around wildly doing it, and he understands the Federal Reserve's trying to crash the economy, working against him. And Ellison's been a longtime backer before it was even popular. So, you know, Trump likes people that like him.
So Trump's doing this project with some noted villain types working on AI, which Alex thinks is part of the plot to the globalists. They want to create a Silicon God in order to kill off the population. But you can't get mad about it because Trump's kind of dumb and he just likes money. Plus, he's a real sucker for people who stroke his ego. So if this shady guy was a Trump supporter, you have to understand that Trump's going to be blind to the shady stuff. You have to understand that's part of what makes Trump so great is that he's manipulatable through money and flattery. This is so sad.
It sucks. It sucks because that was the one spot that I felt like Alex and I both understood something that most people don't. You know, like, that's exactly what people said to me whenever I was like, hey, Biden's evil. They were like, hey, shut up. You can't do that. Right? So that's the only part that you get for that is being able to go like, ha ha, I get to do that. And now Alex doesn't even get to do that shit.
No.
That sucks. That sucks.
Yeah, he just has to make excuses.
Like, that's the worst part of, like, okay, if you're going to do the dictator thing, fucking go whole hog. You know, don't be like a regular Democrat. Like, hey, don't criticize the people in power. It could be worse, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it sucks.
If you're going to support someone who is clearly aspiring towards and making moves around seizing what amounts to dictatorial power,
yeah.
Don't do this.
No!
It's not like, you know, cheerleading for a moderate candidate is not, I think it doesn't come off well if you're like, aha, hail to the king.
Here's my angle on it. If I'm Alex, my angle is, hail to the king, surprise, this motherfucker, his AI is racist as shit. We can make that shit racist in a heartbeat. See? Boom. Mm. It's actually a good idea for us, despite the fact that we ostensibly, you know, we think that AI is evil.
Right. But the ultimate problem comes down to that Ellison was talking about AI applications for creating new mRNA cures for cancer.
There
and
is
this
that.
Is Alex's, like, that's a line that I don't think that he can even dance with.
Yeah, that one's tough.
So if you want to maintain this attachment to Trump, you have to make this about something else. And it's about them, and Trump is just, he loves America money much, and he loves people who like him. And so, like, he's kind of what you're going to end up seeing, and I think that this is the trend that it's been moving towards a bit,
yeah,
is that they need a king.
Yeah.
But the first term for Trump made them realize they don't actually want the person in power to be that.
Yeah, obviously.
Because you have to create the deep state, and it's all this distraction and nonsense.
Yeah.
Musk is the king. And there will be a... There will be a, like, hey, Trump, you know, he's kind of stupid, but, yeah. You know, he's got his heart's in the right place. But Musk, now he's the guy.
There you go.
So that, I think, is the trend that we're going to see.
Oh, boy.
And so Trump can do shit like this, and Alex will just be like, eh.
I'm glad we're far enough away that I'll never have to kneel, you know? Like, I don't think I can do that. I'm dead.
You got bad knees,
too. I'm dead the moment Neil happens. That's trouble. And I'm talking about Neil Peart, Neil Armstrong, and Neil Hamburger all at the same time. Any of these Neils come.
DeGrasse Tyson?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I'm dead.
Uh-huh. Can't come up with more Neils.
I was running out,
took
too.
Hamburger,
I ran
so.
Out fast. That was my most obscure Neil.
So Alex talks here a little bit about how he's seen heaven.
Sure.
We're shaping the war future, the battle space of humanity. I'm thinking decades out, like I've done for 30 years to where we are now, and I've predicted where we are now, and then this little golden era, and then the real bad stuff, and then the true golden era, 1,000 years of peace on Earth. And then Satan's released again to a test. And then this entire third-dimensional real-world simulation is rolled up like a scroll, and we are transported to the
Valhalla,
third heaven dimension, the next level. And if you think you're going to be floating around on clouds up there, let me tell you, that's not what's going on, because I've seen it.
You get a Pegasus.
And every cell in my body and every neuron and every electrical pulse down to the quarks, the pieces of the atoms in me resonates and wants to transcend with God's plan. And so everything I do is to get in alignment with what the Holy Spirit tells me is the mission. That's it. Very simple. So I call the shots of what Alex Jones says and does. I say and do what I believe is the most accurate, truthful thing.
Except you don't, because you said that God speaks to you and tells you the things to do. You don't choose any of this. You have no free will.
Yeah.
I think that I would like to see a world created where people who say, I have seen heaven, are treated like people who say, I have seen heaven.
As opposed to getting a book tour and going
yeah,
on
like this is just
daytime talk shows.
Well, no, that's fine.
Is that fine?
Yeah. That's fine. When I was that kid,
fine?
That kid?
Is that fine?
I think it's fine.
Do you mean that kid who was manipulated by his parents into going on TV and lying about having been to heaven?
That part's not fine.
Well,
that part of that instance is not great.
Okay.
But I think adults, let's say.
Okay. Okay.
Let's
all right. I like that. I like that.
Adults.
Absolutely. Adults who say that, shut the fuck up.
Right.
Gotcha.
They should be treated with a certain amount of derision.
You would think. You would think.
It's kind of the mark of little bit of disingenuous fraud shit.
I'm better with those people if they're just like, hey, heaven's like you come all the time and you never have to take a shit. Fine, I'm down. That's not even that bad.
Sure.
Whenever it's like, oh, the third dimension zips up like a scroll and now we're in level two, I just gotta be done, man.
I honestly don't mind that. I don't mind however you conceive of heaven.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
Okay.
I don't like when you're like, I've been there.
Yeah.
I think that's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
Because then now it's like, okay, you would have no reason not to kill me.
Yeah.
You would know that you're on a mission from heaven or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, that does tend to be why zealots kill a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there's a big difference between I have some ideas and I have a bit of faith about what heaven looks like, and I know for certain because I have been there.
Yeah. That's the problem with belief.
It is. It only works when it's belief.
Mm.
So Alex has a belief, and that is that he is one of the only geniuses in the world, one of the only true geniuses.
And Trump, who doesn't even know that podcasts for at least 10 years have been way bigger than the corporate media, does not understand this stuff. And I'm not trying to be mean to Trump, but all of this BS that Trump knows everything, and Trump understands all the technology, and that Trump has massive base knowledge on every major subject is not true. If you want to know who has base knowledge on the most subjects in the world, most people are specialists. Let me tell you who does. Elon Musk does. I do. And only a few other people that are prominent. They don't want wide spectrum analysis of people that have understandings of geopolitics, history, science, energy, agriculture, culture, anthropology, sociology, psychology, physics, space and aeronautics, philosophy. Because you have to be able to have a unified field theory.
Course.
To be able to look at what the globalist unified field theory is and how they, through the Hegelian dialectic, take all these systems
sure.
and try to manipulate them and steer them and control them, you have to first understand where they're going and what they want to do, and then you've got to develop alternate plans in your unified field theory and wargame those, and then you've got to learn how you can communicate with the public to explain incredibly complex things to them so that they get excited about it and learn about it.
So Alex is conveniently leaving off the most essential part of his strategy. After you figure out this globalist unified field theory and you come up with your own unified field theory and determine how to communicate that to the public, you have to aggressively ignore or deny any instances of evidence that your unified field theory is based on flawed information. In order to maintain the illusion of being a broad-spectrum genius who knows everything when you're really just talking shit, it's critical to never let the audience consider that you're just making shit up. And Alex has developed the almost perfect system for that step in his plan. Anything he's yelling about and has figured out is going to happen because of his study of the globalist unified field theory can happen or not, and he still gets to claim to be right. Alex can spend a month talking about how Jamie Raskin is openly plotting to not accept the certification of the 2024 election and make that claim based on fraudulently presented information that Alex absolutely knows is not being reported in context. Then, when Raskin doesn't end up doing the thing Alex insists they're plotting to do, Alex still gets to be right, because Raskin only didn't do the thing because Alex talked about it too much in advance, so he prevented this plot from ever being carried out. Without this dynamic in his coverage, Alex could never get away with being so wrong so regularly. He's trained his audience to accept his predictions not coming true as being evidence of how right he was, which makes reality kind of irrelevant. Also, Alex is saying that podcasts are much bigger than the mainstream media, which only makes it stranger that he would ignore us for the past 8 years while whining constantly about people like Brian Stelter. It feels like the argument that, you know, we're an independent podcast and Stelter is part of the corporate media makes that even more glaring as opposed to less.
Yeah, now it seems like we're the only people you should talk about because Stelter's a pointless waste of everybody's time.
Right, no one gives a shit about the MSM. It's all about independent podcasts.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
So, Alex is just stupid.
Yeah.
He's a broad spectrum genius, but he's stupid.
Yeah, there is. I feel like every boss I've ever had has had some of that to a little bit of a degree of like, okay, sure, I know that they hired you because you know what you're talking about, but here's why your advice is fucking stupid. It's because I'm a genius.
You know why I'm in charge? It's because I know a lot about a lot.
Yeah.
You know a ton about a little. I know a lot about a lot.
Yeah, I think there has to be something that happens is like, you can't just say yes to somebody whenever they know what they're talking about if you're their boss, because then it feels like maybe you shouldn't be the boss at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to justify your own position, and that drives you insane because you shouldn't be there.
Especially when you're someone like Alex and you definitely shouldn't be
there. You shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
There's no reason for you, and there's no explanation for why you exist.
Mm-mm-mm.
There's just none.
No.
Yep.
Coincidence. And
just
the
random.
World got bad luck.
Fucking random ass shit.
So, someone else who shouldn't be there, and by there I mean out of prison, is Stuart Rhodes.
Sure, he's there.
So now he's there.
In the studio?
No, he's on the phone, though.
Okay.
So Alex does a little intro for old Stuart Rhodes.
Great.
Well, I've known Stuart Rhodes since he founded Oath Keepers, whatever it was, 15 years ago or longer. Good friend of mine. And of all the J6ers, he got railroaded the worst and got one of the biggest sentences, totally innocent. I followed the trials, knew the lawyers. There was nothing there. Did absolutely nothing. No conspiracy, no planning. I was there with them. They were worried about Antifa attacking, and what will we do if they attack the crowd? They were there to be defensive. I was there at the Willard Hotel having the meetings. There was zero plans to go attack anybody. And now, after 9 years of the attacks on Trump and all of us, and the last 4 years of people being political prisoners and really political hostages, Trump's advisors said, sir, don't do it. And he said, F the media. They're all innocent. F them. Release them.
Sure.
And I like J.D. Vance, but I know people that were there. Trump blew up on him a week and a half ago and said, we're pardoning them all because it's all a lie. I've looked at the cases, all of them, the big ones. It's all insane. Our own reporter, Owen, 4 months in prison, they said he didn't work here. He went in and attacked people. He was there with me trying to stop him going in.
So this is a fun game for Alex to play, but on the other end of the phone, Stuart Rhodes knows damn well that he's not innocent. That's ridiculous. Also, Alex, I think in the past, has said that he was not at any meetings or at the Willard, so maybe he should be a little...
Pretty sure you should keep that one quiet.
So they didn't say that Owen didn't work at InfoWars. It was just argued that he wasn't there at the Capitol in the capacity of a journalist. And also, there is some confusion about who is or isn't an actual employee at InfoWars, because it seems like a lot of people might be independent contractors. No one said that Owen went into the Capitol and attacked people. He just forgot to do his community service from a prior suspended prosecution agreement and had to deal with the consequences of violating that agreement that he entered into willingly. These games are stupid, but they're also not sincere. Alex knows why Owen went to jail. It's just that acknowledging that reality wouldn't be useful to him. Pretending he believes this bullshit version of it helps him push his persecution narrative, so that false reality replaces truth. Also, straight up, no ifs, ands, or buts, fuck Stuart Rhodes. One of the things that he says, like, pretty constantly throughout this interview, and most of this interview, is he wasn't actually pardoned. He had his sentence commuted, and he wants to change that because, as it stands, according to him, he might have to see a parole agent and be on probation.
Ooh.
And he's not allowed to own a gun.
Ooh.
So he needs to get this commutation changed to a pardon if he wants to be able to have a gun, which I think he'll have no problem doing. But it is a little, it's a little weird.
That's fascinating. That's fascinating to me, to that story, because it suggests a sort an amount of loyalty from Trump that boggles my mind. Right? Like, that's not his thing.
Mm-hmm.
J.D. Vance, whiny little loser who'll throw you under the bus in the heartbeat. That makes perfect sense. Don't pardon the people who care the most about you. You should leave them in prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Trump's also that guy. don't pay the people you hired to build stuff. What are you doing? So I find it very strange that he would actually care.
Well, I think there's an interesting internal conversation that could have happened.
Okay.
I don't know if this did.
Okay.
But imagining that anything Alex is saying is real.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But imagining there was this difference of opinion between Trump and Vance.
Sure.
I could see a pretty compelling argument being made that's like, hey, these guys are the most likely to coup you.
That's a good point.
Maybe you don't want to let them out because they're the people who have shown a propensity to break into the White House,
right,
or the Capitol in order to, you know, carry out their political will.
Right.
You might not want them too close because they will feel betrayed at some point.
Sure, because you're going to betray them,
right,
eventually.
Right. Yeah. They have unrealistic demands that you probably won't be able to live up to.
Sure.
So I could see somebody being like, keep some of these people in prison.
That is an interesting question, yeah. Like, at what point do they go, well, the reason that we tried to overthrow the government because we thought there was a pedophile billionaire dictatorship, and now we know there's a pedophile dictatorship, so we're actually justified in doing what we thought we were justified in doing last time.
Mm.
Weird.
But I imagine that wouldn't be the way that it would be processed.
No, I don't think
so. It'd be like he's not throwing out enough immigrants.
He's bad at being racist.
Exactly.
Let's get him!
He's inefficient at his racism.
Oh, I think we should all... Here's what I think, all mm-hmm. right? No more guns. That's bad for everybody. Really fuck stuff up. Pitchforks and torches.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta start there.
Well, I think that the Unite the Right rally, there was a lot of torches.
Yeah, but those were loser tiki torches.
Hmm.
I don't think you can intimidate anybody with a tiki torch. I refuse to be intimidated by a tiki torch.
All right. We're going to test this.
I demand better torches.
When you least expect it, I'm going to scare the shit out of you with a tiki torch.
It's not hard. I'm very easily startled.
So I have to say, the Enrique Tarrio interview, not really all that great.
Yeah.
Like, not really all that interesting. There was a dynamic of Alex trying to do the, like, they tried to keep you in prison story.
Right.
And Tarrio not going along with it. But other than that, it was just kind of like a, hey, we're doing this to do it.
You know, Good to be out.
Yeah.
Good to be out.
And I don't think that the Stuart Rhodes interview is really that much more interesting than just the fact that it's happening is what matters.
Right.
It's a statement in existing.
Right. It wouldn't be the only interesting thing that they could possibly speak to would be spending the last couple of years in prison.
Mm.
And that's the last thing that they want to talk about for this interview.
Well, and I also think the second thing that would be interesting to talk about would be not productive for them to have the conversation publicly. And that is, so now that you've been let out,
right.
You know your job now is,
now that you have fuck everybody up badge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not dissuaded from doing exactly what you have been doing prior to going to jail.
Yeah.
Like, you're only going to do that, but more, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's worrisome. But I think what might even be worse is the people who actually have badges who feel like, finally, I'm allowed to be free, you know?
Sure.
You know, who's stopping me?
Well, I mean, you have somebody in office who's like, we can solve stealing by cops having one rough day.
You got it.
You know, like,
yeah.
I do feel like there, you know, I think the word emboldening got thrown around a lot when Trump first
sure.
came into office.
Sure.
And I think it's even more relevant now.
Oh, yeah. I'm emboldened.
So, Stuart Rhodes, there's one thing that he says that I thought was interesting.
Okay.
The presumption of innocence in this country means that every single American is presumed innocent until proven guilty by a jury of their peers that is a fair jury, that's an impartial jury, and also in a court with an impartial judge. That can't happen in Washington, D.C. They drew the jury pool from the victim pool. They said all the judges themselves said everyone in Washington, D.C., all the residents are victims of J6. And the judges even said that they themselves were victims, but they insisted on drawing the jury from the victim pool. It's as though you're being charged with robbing a Walmart, and they drew the jury pool from everyone who was in the Walmart on the night of the robbery. You're not going to get an unbiased jury. It's impossible. So because you had no fair trial, you did not prove beyond a reasonable doubt in a fair trial. So you should always still presume innocent until proven guilty. And that's why President Trump was fully justified in pardoning everybody.
So this is a lot of fun. I always love seeing these kinds of justice fetishizers bend themselves into pretzels to try to pretend to care about legal technicalities when they've done a bunch of crimes and are being held responsible for them. This is a case that's being held in D.C., so the jurors are from D.C. But everyone in D.C. is a victim of January 6th, so it's impossible for them to be impartial jurors. Thus, this case is null and void. it's pretty easy to see Stewart having a problem with the court accepting that argument and then bringing in jurors from other states. Then his complaint would be the court can't bring in jurors from other locations. That's a violation of his due process rights. And even beyond that, couldn't we make the argument that literally everyone in America is a victim of January 6th? That was a direct attempt to disenfranchise the entire country through stopping the transfer of power after an election. Every single person in the country would be affected by that because it was an attack on our rights. If that's the case, it's pretty easy to see that Stewart could make an argument that finding an impartial jury is impossible anywhere. So any trial and any jury he sat in front of would be illegitimate. His argument isn't about principles leading to a conclusion. It's about living out the conclusion that he decided on long ago, that he's above the law, and using dumb shit about legal technicalities to try to pretend that he's entitled to be that, to be in that state. And that's bullshit.
Yeah. I would also argue that he should probably be behind like a screen or something. If I'm in the jury and I see him, my first instinct is, that's a fuck it. Come on. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. It's not like he's, I mean, maybe he's got a glass eye or something in the courtroom, but that's a man that looks like he caused trouble at the Capitol.
Now, what if, obviously Stuart Rhodes is maybe a cool-ish sounding name. What if they called him Elmer all the time in court? Would
Works
that help
me?
You?
That would help me a lot. Mm. Elmer's not breaking into the Capitol.
No.
No, come on.
He's an adhesive man.
Elmer's fine. Yeah. Elmer's got work to do. He's too busy. Mm-hmm. He's got shit going on in his life. Stewart Rhodes with an eye patch? That man is on the high seas or he's breaking into the Capitol.
Can you think of four Elmers?
Fudd.
Yep.
Glue.
Yep.
Foster.
What?
Never heard of him.
Nope.
Nope.
Because the third is Stuart Rhodes, but then there's a coming up with the fourth is impossible.
Oh, his real name is Elmer?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, I probably knew that at some point.
You definitely knew that at some
point. Yeah, that would have to be something I knew at some point.
Yeah.
Yep.
So their interview isn't that great. I don't really care about it all that much. Mm-hmm. And so afterwards, Alex is talking about the war in Ukraine.
So it needs to stop right now, and the pressure needs to be put on Zelensky. Putin said, stop attacking the Donbass region. Stop pushing Russians out. Stop trying to ban the Russian language when Russia was founded there 1,000 years ago. And do not join NATO and move your weapons out. Or I'm going to take, which he's taken, one third of the country that's more defensible and has a rivers between it so that you can't just roll right into Russia like Hitler did in Operation Barbarossa in late 1942. And Putin said, take your missiles out. And if the Russians were doing this to us, I would be very angry at them and doing what the Russians have done. So Soros has been on CNN 8 years ago, back when he could still talk, saying, I will soon be the Tsar of Russia. I got it all with the State Department. I overthrew their governments.
Sure.
And that's what they did.
So that's not a quote.
Is that not a quote?
No.
Not a
really.
Direct quote?
No. Mm. I also think that, I mean, this is perfectly framing of Alex's position, is that we have to put pressure on Zelensky to stop the war.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You have to put pressure on him to accept Russia seizing a bunch of their territory.
Here's what I'm doing.
A bunch of Ukrainian land.
Here's what I'm doing, all right? I'm pulling a, I'm thinking like Alex now. I'm thinking, why even bother with real life? Movies are real. So we do a Dune, all right? We do an Atreides. Fucking Zelensky covers himself in Novichok. Peace, the Accord, shaking some hands with Putin, done. Mm. Both of them, call it a night.
Is Novichok the tooth?
Novichok is the tooth, yeah.
The tooth!
The tooth! Remember the tooth!
Remember the tooth.
Remember the tooth.
I don't know. I just think it's funny that Alex is like, accept that he militarily stole a bunch of your country. It's fine. You have to accept this. I don't understand how Alex can have that position.
Yeah.
But it's probably because he thinks that Russia is just cool. He just likes Russia, loves Putin.
Why did the French give up Louisiana? Was it because we went to war with Louisiana? No, I don't think so. Mm. I don't think that's how it worked.
So here Alex talks about how Russia is cool.
Okay.
And so if you know the Russian psychology, they're done. They're not moving. And they have won. And now they've been dropping MIRV-equipped ballistic missile payloads onto Ukraine that pierce the best missile defense systems in the world that are there. And so we are in a stalemate with these people. And there is no reason to be doing this. I mean, if Russia was promoting tyranny around the world like it was when the left ran it, I would still be against starting a war with them on their doorstep. But Russia is not. Russia culturally is where we're now going as well, pro-family, pro-life, pro-national sovereignty.
Pro-life.
Anti-woke.
During a war.
Neoliberal death cult.
Free speech is primary.
Not really interested in the free speech.
Oh.
The free speech is actually one
free
of the
press?
Prime. No, no, definitely not.
Mm.
Definitely not. Got to get rid of that shit.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a little telling for Alex to be like, Russia is where we're going.
I'm just saying, if Russia is where we're going, obviously the administration would kill me very, very quickly because I'm saying things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep. That doesn't sound right.
I think Alex should really, really assess where he's coming from. Like this is parody comedy levels of not being who he pretends to be.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It is such a like they're treating it like TV.
Mm-hmm.
They're treating it like I'm just picking a team, and then we're arguing about it. Not like. There are people who are going to be fucked over, and not just the people who are dying in the war, but if you cede territory, then the people who live there are going to be fucked over.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you're just going to be waiting for the next invasion.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to regroup, they're going to get more troops and more money and more power, and then take the rest of your fucking
There's a
country.
False resolution.
Yeah, it's not a resolution to give up territory, or even to declare peace. It is just waiting for the next one.
Unfortunately...
And,
but Alex wants, I guess, just the like. Let's pretend things are fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess only doing it three times is a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you invade a place and then take some of their stuff, and then go, hey, we're not going to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
And then a few years later, you invade a place and then you take their stuff and then you go, hey, buddy, we're for real done this time. And then a few years later, you go even harder. I think it's safe to expect the fourth one if you declare peace.
No, it's hacky to hit the beat a fourth time.
That's fair.
The rule
That's
of three
fair.
Is.
Yeah.
Also, it's fine as long as you're not the left. You're not
it
trying
is,
to be all tyrannical and stuff.
It is fine as long as you're not the
yeah,
left.
It's fine.
I should have thought of
you're
that.
You're pro-family. It's all good.
I should have thought of that. Pro-life.
So Alex touches here on a little bit of conflict that Trump had with the president of Mexico.
Hmm.
There's just so much going on. The Mexican president has been shooting her mouth off, so Trump started making some economic moves that has the peso tumbling. And now she's begging. So there's just so much Trump's doing that is really, really good right now.
It doesn't seem like something Alex should be super excited about. It seems cruel and awful and economic warfare-ish.
She said something, so we destroyed their economy. Sounds like a very dick thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So President Sheinbaum of Mexico has made it clear that she will accept people that Trump is deporting, but that there are a couple of priorities. The first is that these should be people from Mexico who are being sent to Mexico. If Trump's deporting people, it doesn't make sense to take people with other countries of origin and then send them to Mexico. The second is that she, along with many other leaders, holds that people arriving in the country should not be transferred on military planes. Trump has had a couple of tantrums about leaders of other countries not wanting to just let him do whatever he wants, however he wants. So that's led to a little bit of trouble, which I guess Alex loves.
Yeah. No good.
No.
No good.
Not.
Was it just, is it really just about naming things? Was it just because they renamed the Gulf?
I mean, that's not helping.
Yeah.
That's definitely not helping.
I think if that's the case, then they should call it not Mexico.
Mm.
Like, so they have Mexico and they're never calling it New Mexico again. They're calling it not Mexico.
Sure.
That's what you have to do.
Or
retaliate in
or
kind.
Or take it.
Take it back.
Yeah.
It's ours now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It says Mexico on it.
It does say Mexico on it.
Yeah.
They could just vote to Mexicanize themselves.
I guess.
That sounds true.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's
based
true.
On Alex's
it sounds
policies
right.
that
yeah,
he sees.
That's a good point.
So Alex, you know, he loves Trump. likes Musk more, but he has a commitment to hold Trump's feet to the fire.
Of course.
About important issues.
But you can't be mad at him.
You can't be mad at him.
For giving $500 billion to an evil, evil man.
No, you can't be you can't be mad at him, but you got to hold his feet to the fire.
Got to hold his feet to the fire. Interesting.
We are going to do what I've always promised you. No matter how much I like Trump, no matter how much I admire him as a man, no matter how much I know he's a good man, I also know Trump well, and I know that he's very smart in ways, but also not very well informed on many others, but that doesn't matter. My job is promoting justice and freedom, not just for Americans, but everybody, because I live here and my kids live here, and if they're going to have a future, you need a future. We are family, a human community, black, white, old, young, doesn't matter. And Trump has a lot of challenges with the big tech titans and the billionaires and the rest of them that have been running the show for the deep state. And the fact that he's brought in Sam Altman with this Stargate project with $500 billion, the mRNA part of it, quote, cancer cure, is a serious issue and very dangerous and problematic. But bigger than that is the government backing up OpenAI with SoftBank money, and they want government backing in it to create a monopoly in AI, which we know was the project before Trump got in with the Obama third term with puppet Biden. And so it's the monopolization of AI through government that was going on behind the scenes with Altman and Microsoft and OpenAI and all of them together. Now you got Larry Ellison up there pitching it because Trump doesn't like Gates. And so we're going to inform Trump on this.
This is delusional, man. Like, Trump wants to do this. It's something that they launched on the first days of his presidency. They made a big deal out of announcing it. Like, it's $500 billion.
That's a lot of money.
This isn't just Trump being an amazing God-selected leader who's just bumbling his way through governing. Like, this kind of image just isn't going to fly. Mm. I can't accept it. I also see no evidence necessarily that Alex knows the difference between Sam Altman and Sam Bankman-Fried. I think he might think they're the same person.
That's entirely possible. I would believe that.
Yeah.
They might as well be in a way. They should both be in prison probably.
Couple of Sams.
I wonder like here's the problem. Mm-hmm. All right? Here's the problem with Trump being in government. If he's a private businessman, I know he's not going to pay anybody $500 billion. You're going to get screwed out of that money, right? But the government pays its bills.
Mm.
That's an issue for me.
Yeah.
I don't want those people actually getting that money.
No, that is true. That is true. And it's our money in theory. It's public funds.
It is our money, yeah. Paying taxes in it is an interesting choice this year.
But I see what Alex is doing here is like he thinks that it's holding feet to the fire, but what he's doing is making excuses.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, he loves the economy, loves America. He's kind of dumb. He just, you know, he doesn't know. We need to educate him on this stuff. He's the fucking president.
Yeah. Yep.
Shut the fuck up.
It does feel like you
should.
He's
not a bumbling old fool.
You do have a responsibility to do the job.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially since Alex was like, this is humanity's future is at stake.
I think it's fun because the last 12 years have really made a great case for not allowing old people to be president.
Yep. Yep. But, you know, it's the law that. the time traveler in that Project Camelot episode talked about is becoming yep. more and more appealing.
I'm hoping for what? Who was it? Malia? Was it Malia Obama who's going to be president at 16?
Maybe. So Alex talks a little bit about how everyone doesn't like him because he supports Trump.
Sure.
At least the globalists don't.
Mm-hmm.
I know the bad guys don't like Trump. I know they don't like me for supporting him. And I don't want Trump to be a martyr. But I got to tell you, if they ever do kill Trump, they are going to be absolutely destroyed. And most of the globalists know that. That's why they're publicly rolling over. But notice the big banks aren't because they think they're the boss. They're arrogant. But when I looked at the Clintons and Obama and the W, just as bad, all of them, they look like they had seen a ghost at the inauguration. So I don't just look at politics and numbers and facts. I also look at body language.
I thought Bill Clinton was totally getting off on and having a great time with the inauguration because he loves power so much, and Trump just embodies that.
I do recall that from a very short time ago.
Yeah, I guess Alex just forgot that bit of body language.
In a day.
I was thinking about something that Alex said in that clip that touched a nerve, and it's the claim that the globalists don't like Alex because he supports Trump. Admittedly, I'm not the globalists, but when he said that, I had a strange feeling. Initially, I thought, nah, I don't hate Alex because he supports Trump, because there's so many reasons not to like this lying piece of shit. But the more I thought about it, a lot of the reason I hate Alex does kind of relate to him supporting Trump. It's not that I hate him because he supports Trump, though. It's his right to support Trump if he wants to. I don't really care. However, the fact that he's able to support Trump while pretending to have the political beliefs he's espoused over the course of his career very clearly illustrates that those beliefs weren't real to begin with. His support of Trump reveals how nothing he preached meant anything, and I hate him for that. We're living in a time with public trust issues, and that's something that I've had a sense of on some level for most of my adult life. I was 16 when a very large portion of the population just had to accept that the election had been stolen by the Supreme Court, and a certain amount of healthy distrust has been important to maintain ever since that point. And that's why people like who Alex pretends to be are really important. We need renegade outside voices who don't let corporate systems absorb them. Over the course of my life, I've seen local TV and radio stations consolidated to the point where real non-syndicated media, separate from the power structure, that's pretty fucking rare. Alex is supposed to be that, and the level to which the last few years prove that he's not should make him the target of hate, especially from his fans. He built up the character of a renegade populist outsider, then he used that to usher the audience into the thrall of a political cult of personality that's going to do all the shit that Alex screamed about the globalists doing, and then Alex is going to reassure them that it's all fine because it's Trump doing it. I think that maybe I do hate him because he supports Trump, because him making that decision and everything he's done since proves that the renegade outsider rabble-rouser archetype is kind of a myth. He's kind of a living embodiment that thing, that image that I think, like, even, you know, on our first or early episodes, I talked about the importance of someone like Alex existing in society.
Sure.
I think I hate him because he illustrates that that's a delusion that I have, that fantasy of that kind of character is from fiction.
I wonder if it's as much like people want to feel like that, but they don't want to live like that.
No.
You know, I want to feel like the person who's a rabble-rouser on the outside, but I would also like the government to be competent, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't have one without the other. A competent government doesn't need an Alex Jones. It's only an incompetent government that needs an Alex Jones, and Alex Jones has created an incompetent government by virtue of being an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
But a competent government could still use an Alex type. In terms of asking questions that are outside of the mainstream, you know, like I think that it's part of an extension of like a really adversarial media. I think that, you know, it doesn't exist within the same umbrella as, you know, the mainstream outlets and shit.
Sure.
But that kind of person.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I suppose the delusion is essentially, you know, like eventually they will be bought,
mm-hmm.
you know, like it doesn't matter. I guess we won't be bought. That's it.
The delusion is that is not something that has is devoid of ambition.
Sure, sure.
It's something that can't. Yeah, basically what you're saying is, yeah, it can be bought. It's
you'll,
not pure. It's
you'll
not.
You'll eventually be bought. Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, you know, eventually, even, you know, like, why would you still care about Joe Rogan after he gets a $100 million contract?
Yeah.
He's been purchased.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, so your perception of him included the perception of a person who would not immediately be purchased for $100 million.
Yeah.
Right?
And it should call into, like, question how you experienced a lot of the content that he put out prior to it.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
It's strange to me. And I resent Alex for being such an embodiment of that.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that I would feel this way if he was still, like, the, I don't know, early 2000s shithead liar.
Yeah.
Who has a bunch of positions that I don't agree with.
I mean, I think it comes back to what we said. You know, you die a Bill Cooper or you live to become Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just how it's going.
Yep.
Yeah.
And sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
So Alex rants a little bit here because I don't know if you saw, there was a clip going around of a pastor who was speaking in front of Trump and Vance saying, hey, you should be merciful.
Interesting.
There's a lot of people who are scared.
Very pissed off about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who, like, you know, immigrants.
Sure.
LGBTQ folk, you should extend mercy like a god might.
Sure, you think, yeah.
And so that really makes Alex mad.
Of course it does.
Yeah, so he starts ranting about how trans folks are a conspiracy of the Tavistock Institute.
Great.
Instead of just saying this lady's a whacked out liberal, we need to expose that they know exactly what they're doing, and it's the BlackRock and the UN that's funding and doing all of this to tear our civilization and our society apart. That the transgender movement was started, and I don't hate individuals that think they're that. The point is they're being brainwashed into depopulation, into sterilization. MI6, the Tavistock Institute, developed this plan in the 60s. It's declassified, and the biggest money in the world is pushing this, and they're not telling parents in public and private schools that they're fast-tracking them and putting them into a sexual cult to then tie them to the politics that go with that. This is mind control. Here's the clip. I want to get your response to it.
In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families. Some who fear for their lives.
So yeah, that makes you mad.
Sure. Yeah. I can't stand it when a religious leader says something like, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespasses of others. What an asshole.
I'm amazed by how much this angers Alex.
I'm not, because you can't. I mean, it happens in the Bible how much the Bible pisses off people who don't like the Bible.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So, yeah, he's mad about that. So he has a little bit of a little bit of talk about that.
Sure.
But mostly, most of this episode is about holding Trump's feet to the fire.
Sure.
About this Oracle OpenAI thing.
Right.
Now, last night I got home about 7 o'clock, went to the front page of X, and saw Larry Ellison, Sam Altman, and the owner of SoftBank, and I know all three of them, their past and who they are very well. And I clicked on the video that we'll play in a moment and go to Dr. Robert Malone, of Larry Ellison of Oracle responding to Trump about, what does this AI do for us? Well, it cures cancer. mRNA. Now, everybody's been horrified by the meeting a month ago with Bill Gates, with Trump, and Bill Gates said last week, oh, Trump's really interested in all the things mRNA can do. And you know Trump bought into their warp speed 5 years ago. And that's the big thing Trump did wrong. And he's got RFK Jr. in there going into HHS. That's a real mea culpa by Trump. And you're already seeing him pulling red dye out and going after the fluoride and talking about stripping the vaccine makers of immunity. And we've got Trump releasing the JFK files today. I mean, this is moving quick. So a lot of good's happening. But I pledge to listeners that when Trump does things I don't agree with, I will talk about it, and we will be there to hold his feet to the fire. I know Trump well. Trump is very smart. But he doesn't have a lot of knowledge on certain subjects, and he's gotten a lot smarter in the last 9 years being persecuted, particularly the last 4. But he loves technology. He loves all this stuff, and he wants to be a hero.
He wants to be a hero. He is a vain person.
Mm.
I think that there is no distinction between holding someone's feet to the fire and making excuses for Alex.
Yeah,
they are the exact same thing.
Absolutely,
he is just making excuses.
Bringing up the things that would make me want to hold his feet to the fire, only to excuse them so I don't have to hold his feet to the fire.
Right.
There's the reasons, and there's no limit. There's no end to it.
I don't think so.
And no matter what limit you get to, it will move the goalposts.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it's ridiculous.
We've already seen Trump shove ISIS up our dirty assholes.
Yep.
There is not, like, we've already
done that.
Can't
go much further than that, yeah.
And Alex has made excuses constantly since. So, like, say, I don't know.
Yep.
So, Alex, I was like, why is he covering this so much? There's so much news that's going on. Trump has done all kinds of shit.
Sure.
There's, some of the things that are obviously you'd want to talk more about haven't happened yet at this point.
Sure.
But there's still a great deal that Trump did in the first 2 days.
Yeah.
And so, like, being all up on this AI thing, I thought was strange.
Yeah.
Until Alex said this.
Okay.
And everything came into focus.
So when Musk does things I don't like, I will tell you. I'm not here working for Elon Musk just because I'm a big supporter and like the majority of what he's doing. Same thing with Trump. But I saw a lot of people online saying, I bet Alex Jones comes out for all of this tomorrow. I'm going to come out with what I believe is the most accurate information. That's why I have the inventor of mRNA here with us that we'll go to in a moment.
So yeah, Alex says people are making fun of him on Twitter.
Yep.
They're like, people are saying, oh, I bet he supports this.
Yep.
No, I don't support it. I'm going to make excuses for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. It's not that I support it. I don't want it to happen. It's that the other guy would be worse.
Alex is, I think he's self-conscious, and people have made fun of him on Twitter, and so he's doing his show about this.
Yeah, that's brutal.
So we've got one last clip, because Alex interviews Robert Malone, the maker of mRNA technology.
Bobby Malone.
This guy's a real dickhead.
Okay.
But there's one clip that I thought was kind of funny.
Okay.
Plus, does Trump understand, as you said, the chief of staff certainly does, how unpopular mRNA is after the giant disaster?
No, that I know, okay? He is all dug in that Operation Warp Speed was a huge success and that the genetic vaccines worked and that they're a major success story for him. And I've talked to, I'm sure you have also, many, many people who have been in the prior administration and are in contact with him routinely, and they all say that this is not something that's negotiable. He has dug in on this position, and that's just the way it is.
It's not good. What do we do?
I don't know the answer. Sorry, I had to tell that telephone call to go away.
No, I understand. I mean, this is a central issue because, look, you know, Trump on a lot of fronts is doing great things. He's a reformer.
Yeah,
but on this, he wants to be a hero, and these guys come lie to him, and his optimism's great, but he has major blind spots.
That sounds like more than a blind spot. Like, that sounds like he sucks. If you're coming from the standards that Alex has, he's a piece of shit.
If somebody digs in on a thing, then you have conflict.
Well, and the digging in is on recognizing publicly that the COVID vaccine was a bioweapon release that the globalists did in response to COVID, which was a bioweapon release that they had done prior to this.
Right.
And Trump got sucked into supporting it. His pride and his ego won't allow him to do it. To admit that publicly, which is what's making him dig his heels in.
Yeah.
And it's not a small thing.
No, it's a huge thing.
Yeah. I think that there's probably plenty of events over the course of history that might be controversial.
Sure.
But you could have some leader who's like, I believe that I did the right thing. It was an incredibly difficult decision to make.
Sure.
Whatever. That's not this.
Yeah.
This is...
No,
a bioweapon release that changed the world.
What's so ironic about it is that I think it's similar to like Alex and when a mainstream media article, mainstream media is bullshit. Oh, the New York Times had something I agree with, you know, insofar as like that is the one real thing that Trump did that was good. Like, at the end of his life, on his deathbed, he can be like, it is because of me that 10 million people are still alive, or whatever it is he wants to do.
Sure.
You know, that's what he can hold on to. And that's the thing that people hate him for on his own team.
Yep.
I hate this guy because he actually saved lives instead of what I wanted him to do.
Yeah.
The irony.
Well, that's an amazing irony.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you have the, like, making excuses shit on 11 here.
Yeah.
Because I think that if I were somebody who supported X, Y, or Z politician,
sure,
and they were complicit, they got fooled into releasing a bioweapon, and then in response to that, they got fooled into creating a vaccine that was also a bioweapon.
Yeah.
I think that I would have massive problems with ever supporting them ever again. If only because you clearly are stupid.
Yep.
You clearly are so gullible to the point where you endanger the world.
Yeah.
So I feel like this should be a bigger deal for them.
Yeah.
They're pretending to believe that COVID and the vaccines were bioweapons.
I think what's going on, and I think this happens to a lot of people, especially now that you're on the internet, is like your point of view on your own intelligence gets wrapped up in whether or not these famous people are intelligent, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you get to the point where you have to say, actually, Elon Musk is a fucking idiot, then you have to look at yourself and go, fuck, I am also an idiot because I've invested 10 years in this guy, you know?
Sure. And I think that there's also an element that's threatening about like seeing one of the richest people in the world and being like, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Why am I not?
Right. Oh, totally.
An idiot is that rich?
Yeah.
Am I not?
Yeah. Maybe there's no such thing as the meritocracy,
right.
And all of this is a random shakeup of the universe that exploded 18 billion years ago. No one knows!
I think accepting some of that is deeply threatening to people.
And I bet. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard because otherwise, like, well, why should any of them be president kind of feeling start to come up? And that's not okay for these people.
Well, yeah. And then I think it does end up eventually weaving into a lot of questions about property.
Yeah.
And
wait, maybe we should share things. Oh, no!
Shit.
Oh, fuck.
So I think that the if you were looking to understand what's going on in the world, I don't think you'd have a very good prism through InfoWars coverage.
Doubtful.
But maybe it'll pick up.
Boy, I mean, I almost said, well, you can understand Stu. And then I was like, no, you can't. That doesn't even, that's obscuration.
Sure.
Yeah.
We can look forward to Alex trying to rationalize Trump's freeze of all government spending,
yeah.
Which ends up doing things like getting rid of all kinds of offices, like the Office of Missing and Exploited Children.
Sure.
Things like this, sort of side domino effect that maybe he doesn't think of or. Can't wait to hear his take on Guantanamo Bay.
I think we're at a place now because that spending freeze got either challenged or rescinded because of course it did.
Yeah,
I think we're at the place now where everybody at all of these agencies should just assume everything is going to go to court, so you don't have to do anything for like 2 years.
Yeah,
you know, like
until a court tells you.
Oh, he's signed an executive order to do this. Hey. Let's hold on, guys. Let's wait a couple of years and see where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
everybody just keep doing what you're doing. Pretend that he's not there until a court says you have to believe in him.
Yeah. It has the feel of like someone who is, I declare a beach day.
Great.
And then you run off and you put on your swim trunks, get a little sunscreen on your nose, and then it turns out, oh, no, it is not a beach day
because
it's
there's
clouds out and it's all rainy.
Ugh.
So you just you put on your shorts for nothing.
What a waste of everybody's time.
Yep.
And money.
Yep.
But at least OpenAI will get $500 billion.
Thank God.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens down the line. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgeright.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.